Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up tomorrow, we have the outgoing New York City Schools Chancellor, Joel Klein. A lot to listen for every day here on the Brian Lehrer Show at 10 a.m. And we're collecting songs for Brian Lehrer listeners' Thanksgiving Kitchen Mixtape. Suggest some music that you like to listen to while you cook, and we'll add it to the mix. Then you can download the mixtape to use on Thanksgiving Day. But today, suggest a piece of music for the Brian Lehrer listeners' Thanksgiving Kitchen Mixtape at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. We're going to talk about the role of investment bankers and a New Yorker article this week that says they have no socially redeeming value. But first, news broke late yesterday that FBI agents raided the offices of three hedge funds as part of a mounting investigation into insider trading on Wall Street. Two of the hedge funds are in our area, Level Global Investors of New York City and Diamondback Capital Management of Stamford. The third firm to be raided was Loc Capital Management in Boston. No one has been accused of wrongdoing, and the FBI is not discussing the case yet, but this followed leaked reports over the weekend about a broad investigation and potential criminal charges as a result of insider trading in the banking industry. And joining me now to explain what may be going on here is Felix Salmon, finance blogger for Reuters. Hi, Felix. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you very much.
So raids, but no arrests. What do we know about what happened and what could come out of this?
What we know is that the Southern District of New York has a huge investigation on. They're investigating hedge funds. They're investigating expert research firms. They're investigating banks. There's reports they've been investigating Goldman Sachs. That's always good for headlines. And they're looking for what could be the biggest insider trading case ever. And whether or not they're going to find it and whether or not they're going to get enough evidence to be able to prosecute, so far nobody knows, but they're certainly calling in people to do raids on hedge funds, which is pretty rare because normally you can just sort of wander in there and ask to see computers. You don't need to do these big sort of very high-profile raids like this.
And I gather there were dozens of agents involved in at least one of these raids, dozens of agents coming into one hedge fund.
And walking out with cardboard boxes with the word evidence all over them and you know, making it seem as though, certainly look as though there's evidence of criminal activity possibly hiding in those boxes somewhere.
What might it be? How do you go in person and come out with a cardboard box of what might be evidence of insider trading? What might be in that box?
That's an incredibly good question. Your guess is frankly as good as mine on that one. I can't really imagine that people sort of keep notes of their top secret conversations with insiders and write them down on pieces of paper and keep them in their bottom drawer. But I, you know, what do you think?
Who knows, right? But the, well, about a year ago, Preet Bharara, the U.S. attorney from Manhattan, brought charges against Rajaratnam, the co-founder of the Galleon Group, another hedge fund. So far, 23 people have pleaded guilty to criminal charges in what Preet Bharara is billing as the largest hedge fund insider trading case in history. So what happened there, and how might that be a model of what they're looking for here?
So this case looks like it kind of spun out of that case. There were so many people pleading guilty in that case and cooperating fully that one can assume that various other cases unrelated to Rajaratnam and Galleon Group were revealed at the same time. There certainly seems to be a lot of traders who used to work at SAC Capital, Stevie Cohen's huge hedge fund. That particular hedge fund has not been part of this investigation as far as we know, but a lot of its alumni have been. And what seems to be going on, or what's alleged in the case of Rajaratnam, is that he would essentially pay corporate insiders, in especially technology companies, for advance information on things like how many chips they were selling or how their results would look in the next quarter.
And these hedge funds that were raided, aren't they headed by people who are Galleon alum?
There's a lot of moving around in the hedge fund world. So, yes, there are people who used to work at Galleon. There are people who used to work at SAC. And there's a certain type of hedge fund which tries to make money by positioning itself in advance of earnings announcements and by trading stocks before they move significantly on some kind of news. And this seems to be in that world of hedge funds.
And correction, I said Galleon. This Stephen Cohen is an alumni of SAC Capital Advisors, which is also in Stanford. I guess he's now involved with Level Global and Diamondback. But what you just described, I mean, it's almost the definition. Is it the definition of insider trading? And how do we even know where the line is? Is this hazy under the law? When can an investor get information that they can use to make a trade? And when do they have to wait and hold on to something that they know, just sit on it until it becomes public in some other way?
That's a very good question. And the law is not completely cut and dried on this. But in general, if you're not an insider, you can trade on non-public information. The problem is when you get that information from insiders and you get that in some kind of illegal way. Certainly, if you sort of walk into a store and you see that it's very busy and you say, wow, that store must be selling lots of stuff, and then you go out and buy that company's stock, then that's fine. You don't need to wait for the company to report in public that their stores have been doing very well. So, and then one of the gray areas is that in these investigations, the investigators have been talking to these expert companies who provide people who are in the realm of that business to sort of give their expert advice on what they think is going on. And that's where things get a little bit hazy, to the degree to which they might have violated some kind of fiduciary obligations when they were giving advice for $1,000 an hour or whatever it was on the phone. But as I say, no one really knows what the charges are. No one knows what stocks are being looked at or who's being charged, whether anyone will be charged. So at the moment, it's very speculative.
When do you expect the other shoe to drop, if any?
Oh, it could take months. Legal investigations take a very, very long time, as you know. And there may never be anything. They might not be able to come up with anything. But my guess is there will be charges at some point, but we won't see them for a while yet.
Felix Salmon, finance blogger for Reuters. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.